All right, Revelation chapter 13, we've been introduced to a quote-unquote new character. I say quote-unquote because this is really the first place that he is described in great detail with specific clarity. And who am I referring to? I'm referring to this beast. And we looked at this last week, and this was introduced last week, so I'm not going to review entirely, but chapter 13, verse 1 says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now again, John is seeing this in a vision, and he sees a beast rise up. Last week, as we looked at this verse, these verses 1 through 9, we closed by looking at the challenge of why God would alert us or alert the people who will be on the earth at this time of the presence of this beast. We looked at that verse. It says in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. And the cry went forth that we be people who hear the word and do it. We talked about how there will be people who are dwelling upon the earth who do not worship this beast or his image. But as we see in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, a book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so the vast majority of people upon the earth are going to be worshiping this beast. And we talked about how this beast, I believe, is going to be a man of great power, a man of great authority. The passage in verse 2 tells us that the dragon, who is Satan, the devil, we saw that in chapter 12, the dragon gives him his power and his seat and great authority. He speaks blasphemous things. And so the earth is going to know a powerful ruler who is going to have incredible influence. So much so that the people on the earth will be deceived into thinking him being a god. And they will worship him. Many have commonly called this individual the Antichrist. And you probably have heard that term used before. In many ways, what Satan is doing in his deception is making a counterfeit Trinity. You see, Satan, that's what he does, is he counterfeits. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And Satan, being a spirit being himself, understands very well the heavenly realm. And he knows how it operates. He knows God. It's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And he sees how they work together, being one God, yet three persons. He knew about Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, who came to the earth. And of course, he tried to thwart God's plan. He tried to kill Jesus when he was just 2 years old. But God delivered them to Egypt. Satan tried to trip Jesus up with the temptations in the wilderness. And of course, Jesus was not to be tripped up. He tried to squash it by having him killed upon the cross. But even in all of that, God's plan was accomplished anyway, because God knew that the precious Lamb of God needed to be shed to pay the sin for the sins of the world. But in Satan's mind, the death was accomplished. He was sealed in a grave. But then the grave was empty 3 days later. and Jesus Christ arose. And so therefore, Satan knew he had been conquered. He couldn't do anything more. Jesus Christ had conquered death. So he couldn't mess with Jesus Christ. But what he could do is he could mess with people. And he could limit the effectiveness of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and his work and power in the world. And so he set himself about doing just that. One of the first things he did was he promulgated a lie. The disciples stole his body from the grave. And in fact, that is even still around in some circles today. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Well, so that's what some will say. We believe he did. He's alive. He's been seen in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Even Stephen seeing him standing there, ready to welcome him home. Well, as we saw in chapter 12, Satan, he is conquered in the heavens and cast to the earth. And so he begins his devilish ways upon the earth. He is angry. He knows he only has but a short time. And so he begins his work in amongst people and using people. And we see how he's going to do it. Raising up a man of great power and authority. We saw that. We've looked at that last week. This one will be, verse 5, speaking great things, blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And we see this man specifically empowered by the devil in this way for a 42-month time period. We see that he is given great authority and even has authority to kill the saints of God, to overcome them. But that does not limit or say or weaken our God. Because if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that persecution is what is a part of our life. If you desire, if you live to be godly, you will suffer persecutions. I'd like to draw our attention now to verses 9 and 10 specifically. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And I know I plied that last week in a strong manner, but I want to focus in on that again and leading into verse 10. Let me read verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of saints. Now that phrase, he that hath an ear, let him hear, is a familiar phrase to us if you've been with us studying the book of Revelation, if you've read it. If you look back at Revelation chapter 2, just go back there with me. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him, what? Let him hear. Look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Right? We see that again. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Very good. How about, let's see, where else do we see it here? Verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And you're going to see it in chapter 3 several more times. We spent a lot of time in those chapters. He that hath an ear, let him hear, was a call to whom? A call to the church. These seven churches of Asia, on Asia Minor, were, I believe, a specific audience of the book of Revelation. And John through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writing down Jesus Christ's revelation. And they were delivered to these seven churches in Asia. And Jesus Christ had this cry for them, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And the rest of the phrase goes this way, what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And so we see this example at the beginning of Revelation of Jesus' heart, that the people, the audience to whom he is speaking, they hear, internalize, take in what he is saying. This is not just stuff that Jesus just wants to get out there just for the fun of it. This is a life-changing message for the church. These are empowering words that will help the church to grow. It helps the church to confront sin, to deal seriously with it. He affirms the church in their obedience. Well, with those things as an example, we come to chapter 13 and we see, if a man have an ear, let him hear. This is that same cry. As you have been listening and hearing this message, take these things to heart. For those of us here today as Christ's church, we take seriously this message that the devil does not have power over God. We take comfort in knowing that there is this book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and we are believers in that Lamb, Jesus Christ. For those that will be reading the book of Revelation during this troublesome time, this message coming to them, they will hear it, and it will be a wake-up call. It will be an encouragement to them to pay attention. Listen to these things. Watch the signs of the times. Take note. The saints that will be alive during this time, they will be watching these events unfold before their eyes. And they will, by God's gracious inspiration of Scripture, be blessed to know and understand and see these unfoldings happening, and yet know God is in control. And they are going to be able to know that these things are going to be happening, but there's a short time. You can imagine the blessing of God's Word during these days. With that, we come to verse 10, that these verses 9 and 10 are this interlude in the vision. And I hope you see that, because you get the vision of the first beast, and then you get verses 9 and 10 that is a direct exhortation to the audience. It's like you're telling a story, and then you stop in the midst of the story and you say, "Don't get this. You ready?" You ever do that with your child? You're telling them a story, and you get them to a certain point, and then you stop the story, and you say, "Now, you listening? You getting this? Okay, you ready?" And in the midst of this, there's some moral. There's a teaching that's involved. So verse 9 is, you getting this? You listening? In verse 10, you see this teaching. The teaching is this: he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. When you read that, what do you walk away with? But keep in mind, think about it. Take a moment and Let your thoughts rest on what you just read. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Encouraging or discouraging? Encouraging, because why? Because your identity as a saint. You see, what we can take great comfort in is knowing that God knows all of these things and how they're going to unfold, and He's got a plan for His people, His saints. And even though there's hard times and troublesome things and demonic activity and worship of the beast, still, the saints are encouraged. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Implying what? Well, he that takes these people, gathers them into captivity, he shall also be found in captivity. He that kills with the sword shall also be killed with the sword. You see, the saints, they're going to be experiencing these kinds of things. I'd venture to say, even in the days of John and the Romans, in the Roman Empire, there was, in a sense, a very real application for the church of those days. Because in those days, persecution of Christians was rampant. You'd had Nero, you had Domitian, various emperors that sought to put an end to Christianity. You go into you're led into captivity, you shall find yourself there. And the saints will be encouraged knowing that God has not forgotten them. And knowing that their persecutors will one day face their demise. You've ever been in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a mess, and you can't see any way out of it? Looks hopeless? Can't see any light at the end of the tunnel? Think about how much comfort comes when there's somebody that comes along and shares some truth with you to shine that light out there and to help you see, yep, God's got it. Now, you may have to go through these things and these difficulties and perhaps even death. You see Him? You hear the truth? Let it rest in your soul. See, I love how God does this. Even in the midst of the demonic things and this worship of the beast, here in Revelation, He stops and He says, "Now, readers, you getting this? Are you hearing this? You taking it in here? Now listen. You're seeing your own people going into captivity. Those who are doing that, they'll be captives one day. You seeing some of your own being killed? Those doing that killing, they're going to face killing themselves." You know, this is something that Jesus said earlier while He was still on the earth. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 13 and go to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 26. Just a brief synopsis of what's happening here in Matthew chapter 26 is that Jesus is arrested. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and he is taken. And now verse 51, so Matthew 26:51 says, "And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Who was that? That was Peter. We know that from another gospel. And so Peter had his sword out. And verse 52, then said Jesus unto him, put up again your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Interesting, isn't it? That here Jesus, while on earth, in the midst of this troublesome time, I mean, it's dark, and here comes the band of soldiers with Judas leading and priests and their torches, and he's in the garden, and he's just got done praying, and he's stressed, the sweat drops of blood. And Judas, who once was his friend, comes and kisses him on the ear. And he's betrayed into the hands of wicked men. Oh, it could have been a great time where he could have called legions of angels and said, be gone with you. But no. It was his perspective and his attitude to walk the walk that God had planned for him. And praise be to God, he did. Right? He walked it. And boy, old Peter, I mean, he is ready to fight, to protect his Lord. And in his zeal, he draws the sword. And Jesus' response is this. Because Jesus understands the plans of God. He understands the power of God. And even though things look bad to us, look bad for the people of God, God's got it. God's got it. Even embedded in this in Revelation, you could even surmise that he's telling the saints during this time, don't take up arms. Don't fight against this. Because this is just a short time. And I'm going to win. The answer's not for you to fight back here with the sword. Well, here, back in Revelation 13:10, here is the patience and the faith of saints. So here is the narrator. He stopped the vision for a moment, and he is telling us what I have just told you. This is important for you and your endurance and your faith. Do you need endurance in life? I mean, can you call yourself a Christian? You live the Christian life. It's not easy, is it? Not in our world. It's not easy. Now, we're not facing anything like this. But we still raise our hands and say it's hard, right? Of course, we would say, you know what, other people in the world have it much harder than us, and that is true in many respects. People are giving their lives every day for the name of Christ. Yeah. But here is a special little nugget embedded in the midst of this horrible vision where God is recognizing, my saints, the difficult times. I tell you, listen. Those doing this to you, they will find their end. I will see to that. You abide under. That's what patience means. It's a word, hupomene, which is a combination of two words, under and remain. And so he says here, remain under me. You are abiding under these stresses of the world. Look at it as this. Rest in me. You see, we need that endurance, don't we? we need to be able to abide under. And so it's endurance, but it's also a faith. Have you ever thought through how important faith is to your belief system, your Christianity? It's absolutely imperative, right? You remove faith from all of this, and it all just falls. So these folks, in the midst of this trouble, are encouraged, their faith is strengthened by Jesus' little nuggets of, listen to this, got this, I got it, all right? I got you. Endure. Be people of faith. Faith. You know, that was probably what Jesus was doing with his disciples that night. Because here they all come, and Peter puts up, he wants to fight, and Jesus says, put that away. Because he needed these men to realize God's got a plan, and it will come to be. Have faith. Endure. Bear up under. These are refreshing moments in your read of Revelation, isn't it? And if you've had the opportunity to read through the book, you get to these little pieces where you can hear John saying, hold on, under the inspiration of the Spirit, of course, but hold on. I want to speak to you, listener. I want to speak to you, reader. Verse 11, down through the end of the chapter, the vision continues. But I want you to notice, look at verse 18. First three words are what? Here's wisdom. That's another little nugget. Another little stepping back and saying, I got some wisdom for you. Oh, how precious that will be. How precious it is for us. And we'll get to that, but notice it's the same language. In 13:10, we say, here is the patience and faith of the saints. In verse 18, here is wisdom. Look at chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Look at chapter 17 and verse 9. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou... I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong verse. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. You see that? Here is. Here is. Here is. And these little just narrative interludes, just pulling back and saying, readers, saints, I know what you're going through, and here are some things to help. So here we got to talk about this then. We got to talk about how much we need God. Because you're going to walk through life and you're encountering times you have, are, or will, when you're going to be crying out in your distress, where things are going to be hard, where you need endurance, where your faith is attacked, where you need wisdom. Where do you turn for that? Where do you go? You see, embedded right here in the book of Revelation is God's call, come. Come to me. I've got this. I'll take care of this. I am offering to you what you need. Are you turning to the Lord for these things? You turn to the Lord for in the times of trouble, for patience, for faith, for wisdom. If you struggle with this, if this is not something that is readily on your mind, let's go one step further. Then I want to ask you, then who is God to you? As we've looked through the book of Revelation, I trust, as in my own life, God has been magnified. He is the sovereign King and Lord. And these little things, that I call them little in quotes, because they won't seem little when it's happening upon the earth. But when you're comparing them to the might and the power of God and to the declaration of God's victory, it's already been declared. Yes, God is mighty. And may you and I trust in Him and fall into His arms of great strength. If any man have an ear, let him hear. It is good to be reminded of the purpose of this book. In Revelation chapter 1, we read this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signify it by his angel unto the servant John, verse 2, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep, notice, hear and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing here. And that's what we've looked at today, is just a part of that blessing. It's a part of the blessing of, yes, I'm revealing to you what's going to be happening. But I'm also telling you that I've got you, that I care for you, that your persecutors will suffer their demise. You take heart, find endurance, place your faith in me. Lord, thank you for your precious truth. And again, I've so enjoyed how this is just inserted right in here. Because, Lord, I admit, studying about this beast is pretty horrendous. But boy, the glorious perspective that you are taking care of your saints. And even how, God, all the world's going to worship this beast. But, Lord, there are some who do not. There are some who are written in that book of life, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Yes, God, we are encouraged today. And Lord, we will go through some hard times and some difficult things. But we know that you give patience and endurance, and that you strengthen our faith, that you give wisdom. What a blessing that is to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.